Hi, everyone. Welcome to Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. I am your host, Shayna Black, and every episode, you'll meet some pretty cool people doing some pretty cool things. So sit back, and we'll meet today's guest right after this.
Hey there, Ohio listener. Yes, you. We know that life is full of twists and turns, and sometimes those lottery tickets don't quite hit the jackpot. But what if we told you there's a second chance waiting just for you? From now until January 7th, 2024, you can head over to ohiolottery.com/mylotto and enter those non-winning tickets. So consider this your personal invitation to turn those near misses into a winning story. Visit ohiolottery.com/mylotto and let's see if your wishes are about to come true.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Shayna Black. And this week I have Robin Wilson with me of Clean Design. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Hi, I'm so happy I can join you. And Clean Design Home is the brand that we are going to talk about today, Shayna. It's exciting.
Yes. And I didn't realize when I first met you that it was a full brand. So I, just to go back, like I met you, you were signing the book that I'm holding right here. And I was like, oh, you're an author. And then in this journey of setting up this call today, it was like, oh no, you're so much more. So why don't you, I'll let you just talk about all the amazing stuff you do. Just tell us about Clean Design Home and you and all the stuff.
I think the first thing I should say is I'm so grateful to be on your podcast. Black Girl Media certainly is amplifying voices and brands all over the country. Thank you for having me. One of the key things I like to say is I'm a multi-hyphenate. It's a word I recently learned. In other words, I'm not just one thing. I'm a mom. I'm an author. I'm an entrepreneur. I also have a lifestyle brand. And I think so many of us try to put ourselves into a box and narrow our vision, and we should be all that we are all the time.
Very cool. I know you have some accomplishments. You do design work. And where are you based out of? So just tell people a little bit about the actual work you do.
Sure. We're based out of the New York area, and my company's been in business 23 years. So that overnight success myth is not true. I tell people it's a circuitous journey. You might think you're starting off one way and then you end up in a different place. And the goal is always just to take another step every day. We've created a brand, Clean Design Home, is global. We are the first Black global brand to be at retail, every branch of the military, and also sold online, specifically focused on the allergen aware lifestyle. And one of the things that some people have asked is, how did you start? And I often say my very allergic childhood and asthmatic childhood was my laboratory. And so now I've leaned into what I call a chronic malady that affects 1 in 5 people. That's 60 million Americans who suffer from asthma or allergies. So I take all that I know and all that I grew up with, and I put that into a retail format and a lifestyle format so that I can, even when we're doing design projects for people's homes, I can say, well, maybe we want to use this type of insulation. And then when someone buys a product, maybe you want to buy this type of product. For example, instead of a feather pillow, if you have asthma and allergies, you might want to consider a down alternative pillow. And then take it to the next place. Again, when you read my book, we aren't just talking about the pretty things in your home. We actually have a page that talks about how pollen profiles match. And so you might be allergic to, let's say, grass or ragweed or something of that nature. And then you come inside and you eat a fruit or a vegetable that has the same pollen profile. And now you're wheezing and sneezing outside. And you thought you were doing something good inside. And now you're wheezing and sneezing inside. And so what we're trying to do is create this holistic brand that's a one-stop shop for both education and products. And then, of course, guiding people through podcasts like this so they can be more aware of what they can do in their lifestyle, in their home, and also support our brand.
That's very cool and amazing. And you said you have products globally. I heard that you're also in Macy's right now. Is that true?
We're in 51 Macy's locations from Guam to Puerto Rico. We're also in Belk Stores, which is a very big retailer regionally in the Southeast. We are in 45 of those locations. We're in every branch of the military, And as a Gold Star family member, I'm very, very thrilled to be able to provide that allergen-aware lifestyle to those that serve. And then we are also at Wayfair, which is global. We have our own online store. And I'm going to drop a little secret today. And I hope everyone, if you come to the Tri-State New York area, we are opening a flagship store in spring forthcoming. And more details will be trickling out over time.
Well, I'm excited about that as someone who spends a lot of time in New York and has a young person moving to New York in a few weeks. So I can't wait to be part of that and visit your what will be an amazing store. Back to the Macy's, what products can people find? I want to make sure we get that part out of the way so we can really delve into the brand here.
Sure. If you go to every Macy's, you're going to find our comforters and probably sheets and maybe pillows. Each store has a different assortment. If you go online to Macy's, you'll find our entire collection, which includes mattresses, comforters, pillows, sheets, robes, pillow protectors, mattress protectors, cleaners such as hand soap, dish soap, lotion, other products, candles. I left candles out. And so the aromatherapy that you might need for your home. And we have a wonderful gift set that's on the shelf right now online. I left out one part. I said in most Macy's stores. Mm-hmm. In the New York City flagship store, you can actually go into the sixth floor in the home department. We have our own store.
Oh, wow.
250 square feet. You walk in, everything's in front of you, and you can select what you need and literally imagine living that allergen-aware lifestyle immediately.
So I love that. And now I feel like I'm ready to book a flight just to go see that, because the flagship store is like nothing else. And I know we've talked about Macy's just because mainly that's what we have here. We don't have a lot of Belks and other things, but I want people to know and support. And especially because of the allergen awareness, like even without the allergens or going that route, like just some of the things you have curated are amazing and beautiful. And so that was why I'm like, oh my gosh, people need to know you. Like, we need to talk. But for those people that think about eco-friendly, allergen-free or allergen in mind, usually it's cost prohibitive, or it's always people think it's more expensive to live that life. Are there some ways to be healthier or have a healthier home without breaking the bank?
Definitely. One of the things that I like to remind people is I come from a very humble upbringing. My father was a bus driver. My mom worked for the state. But the powerful message to everyone is my grandfather's story on my father's side. My paternal grandfather was a sharecropper in Texas who actually picked cotton. And my brand is made of cotton. It's called Supima cotton that only comes from Texas and California.
Wow.
So for me, it's that tying of the bow, honoring an ancestor who totally believed in education, who probably had a sixth grade education himself, and knowing that I sat on his lap and he had big, big dreams for me. And I ask so many people when I speak, I say, what do you think the dream was that your grandparents had for you? Not your parents, but your grandparents, because they knew what you had potential to do. Your parents had to raise you into that.
Right.
But your grandparents, they're like, be an astronaut, be an entrepreneur, be a whatever, be the best at that. And so sometimes recognizing that as a brand, it's not just me. I'm actually hopefully opening the door to future generations of young people of color who have a big dream and want to achieve it. And there are very few of us as women of color who are around. So I, in this interview, want to pay also homage to B. Smith. B. Smith, who passed in 2020,
yes.
Just as in 2020, I grabbed that brass ring and got licensed by a major brand, a major company that owns the factories in Asia, in India, in Bahrain. And so imagine that moment of B. Smith passing. And then I happened to have worked 20 something years at that point, and I could grab that brass ring and really own it and take it to Macy's, where if you think about it, she opened the door for me to be at Bed Bath Beyond in the first place.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to start doing also in our community, is honoring those who came before us when we speak in public, which means we know our history and we're passing it on.
Absolutely. I think, and we've kind of talked about this, but I think about that as well. You know, the grandparents were the ones that kind of put the seeds in us, even when we didn't know. And they spoke life into us and had the vision. And we didn't know. We were just hanging out with grandma and grandpa, so to speak. I love that you say that. I love the idea of legacy and passing the torch, opening space and providing space to one day pass the torch or the baton yourself. But understanding entrepreneurship and this 20-year journey of yours that you've been on, at least 20 years, how do you navigate through like the noise and the naysayers and the haters and the negative feedback?
If you are a student who excels, you will hear noise when you are young from those who either wish they had your test score or those who are jealous of your focus. If you are a great athlete, you will have the same. If you are a great business person, you will have the same. What we have to remember is often those who are creating historical legacies are not honored until they're no longer with us. So that means if you recognize that those individuals also had naysayers and noise when they were achieving their legacy, if you recognize that those people who paved the way for us to even walk in the front door or to be in the places that we are today, they had a lot of naysayers and a lot of noise. Our noise is not as virulent as that time. And so we need to steel ourselves to know that someone who is achieving talks about things. Someone who is not achieving talks about people.
Yes, very true. And once you realize that, you'll listen better, I think, because you're listening to the types of conversations you're in or how you respond. Like, I'll catch myself sometimes saying, well, you know, with Robin, then I'm like, ooh, like, what is happening here? I appreciate this whole interview, but I appreciate that word. And I feel like we're on this kind of trajectory about, I don't know, like the legacy, the advice, the going back. Going to your book when I first met you, you showed me this page where we were talking about sometimes I call them the old timey recipes, like grandma and grandpa's cleaning. And I know that there's products that I use or I'll clean and I'll be like, man, can't seem to be able to clean as good as my mom and grandma used to. And you have these products, like were those better or like how did we get away from that?
Well, we started watching television a lot in the 1950s. That's the best way to describe it. So the soaps, as we used to call it, our grandmothers and others would watch the soaps. And those soaps were sponsored by companies who wanted to sell things. And so all of a sudden, people thought that a pine forest smell was clean. That's not clean. That's formaldehyde-based chemicals that deaden your nose and your senses. So all you smell is that smell. So think about all of the chemicals you have in your home, from, let's say, oven cleaner to toilet cleaner to the pine scent to whatever you use. And now you layer those. Now you have five layers of chemicals in your home. And then you have a baby. And now that baby, I don't know if you know, but babies breathe, I think it's four times as much as we do. They breathe really fast. So they're taking all these chemicals in that you over time have deadened yourself to. And now your baby has asthma, allergies, all sorts of whatevers. And you're like, how did they get this? I keep my house really clean. Okay, are you? When I was growing up, I'm older, right? When I was growing up, my grandmother used baking soda, vinegar, lemon juice. Maybe she had Comet in the powder form to clean and scour the bath, but she did not use layer upon layer upon layer. And she also opened the doors when she was cleaning or opened the window. We have homes today that are built with they call it a tight building envelope. And that is good for energy efficiency, but it's not good if you have layer upon layer of chemical because it's never venting out. And so what's really important, I say this to anyone, if we're to protect your health, if you're going to clean and you're in a modern home, just open one window, two windows to let some of that fresh air in and let some of the chemicals out. 5, 10 minutes every day. Number two, if you are in an older home, you're going to have the venting. We all know the draftiness. So it's sometimes less important in an older home because you have the draftiness already. What's really important is if you have children, this is a simple thing. Imagine a toxic chemical being used to clean crayon off the wall when you can do the same thing with toothpaste and an old toothbrush.
Oh, wow. That's good. Yeah. And I think, you know, we don't talk about where allergies come from, so to speak. It's just your child is allergic to this thing. And you're right. As a parent, you're like, oh, wow, either it's something that just naturally happened, or you can't figure out, you know, you're like, oh, it must be the baby food. It must be the diapers. And yet I'm still using that heavy chemical spray to clean the house because I want the baby's room to not have allergies. So maybe I go back and re-clean everything. And
right.
We're just making the situation worse.
Well, I do want to say this. Allergic children, it is typically a bodily reaction. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to make a claim, but it is not something you're doing. And I think everyone needs to hear that your body is reacting to something. And it could be food, it could be dust, it could be smoke, it could be pet dander. It could even be, and people don't realize this, the red sauces you use on your pasta, which are part of the nightshade family. So you might eat pizza and you'll love the taste of it, but you could be like, oh, I'm so bloaty, I feel terrible. And you think it's the cheese because you might have a lactose intolerance. The reality is it could be the red sauce because there are a lot of people who are allergic to the tomatoes, which are part of the nightshade family. And so you might have red pasta the next day and you still have the exact same reaction. You're like, I didn't have any dairy. Why is my belly bloated? And what you're doing every single time you keep doing that, you're literally causing your body to always be in an inflamed state. And that means if you really get sick, your body can't fight it off. I think it's so important to educate people that your allergy, your allergic reaction, your asthma was not caused by you. It is a biologic reaction. And I've actually witnessed parents, a friend of mine happens to be a pediatrician, and she has told me stories about parents who the father or the mother is angry. You caused this eczema reaction. You caused this contact dermatitis reaction. No, 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 no. This is the thing to understand. Dermatological issues on your skin can be part of an allergy. And it could be, if people realize this, eczema on your skin is part of the same issue as asthma and hay fever.
Wow. Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Right? So when you're little, it might manifest as eczema. But then when you're a middle school person, it manifests as a ragweed hay fever type allergy and or asthma.
Wow.
And so it's all part of the same circularity. It just may manifest different at different times in your life.
Oh, wow. Now that I didn't know that. And that was something to think about because, again, most people don't identify that or don't know that they're all connected. Switching back over to your book, because I know we're going to run out of time and I'm just so amazed at this conversation. So you're always welcome to come back. You know, your book talks about not only, you know, like we talked about the allergens and thinking about that as you clean, but also how to prepare your home. And there was something I was reading about the height for the furniture as you buy it or where you should put your refrigerator, you know, especially when you're moving sometimes from an apartment to a house, like the refrigerator is just there and you just stick it there or it looks like it goes here. But why are those things helpful or important when we think about energy efficiency or designing a room in your home?
I think that as a designer, and again, let me talk to you real quick about this. To those listeners out there who think, oh, I have to go to design school to be a designer. I never went to design school. I am not professionally trained. However, I have traveled a lot. I've been in beautiful spaces. I have a natural gift of what I call geometric vision. So I can look at a white box, a room that has nothing in it, and I can say, this would fit, that would fit. And so that's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
If you find that you have a gift, and this is something to everyone, you might find that if you tinker with things, somehow you can magically fix them. Well, maybe your gift is invention. Maybe if you, when you're a little kid, you like to cook. Maybe your gift is that you have a wonderful taste palette. So you don't just have to be a chef. You might be someone who works and creates the spices that we all love. You know, there's so many different jobs that we don't know about. And there's a woman I recently met, and she has a very keen sense of smell. I mean, crazy. Like she can tell that it's oregano in a sauce. her job is to be the nose for a perfumer.
Oh, wow.
So she goes in and she's like, oh, let's mix this and that. And oh, this is a beautiful perfume. And she gets paid a lot of money for that. So this hopefully will inspire some individuals who say, oh, I'm not great at math. This woman doesn't have to be great at math. She just has to protect her nose.
Right.
You know? So I want to just throw that out as something just to think about, is you might have a special superpower that you're ignoring. And you might say, oh, I've got my job. Okay, your job might be the means to an end. And one of the things I do know is having received a corporate windfall back in 2000, the company I was working with went public. So I got this great windfall. And I had a mentor. And that mentor said, what would you do? You could go to work every day and you had a great lifestyle, but you didn't have to worry about money. And I was like, no one had ever asked me that, right? So he didn't, I'm dating myself when I say this. His next sentence was, okay, you don't know, no one's ever asked you what your passion is. No one's ever asked you what your superpower is. And I was thinking to myself, in our community, all too often it's get your education, get a college degree, and
Good
get a
job.
job.
A good
There's
job.
nothing. What's your passion? It's just get a job. It doesn't matter what the job is, get a job. This person was saying, you right now have the freedom to do anything. And maybe when kids go to college, instead of saying, just get a degree, maybe we need to ask them, what is your passion? What would you do? And some kids are going to say, oh, I'd play video games all day. Okay. Well, you're not going to necessarily make money for the rest of your life playing video games, but maybe you should be a video game designer. Or maybe you should go to a car company and help design the screens that do the self-driving stuff. It's all sorts of things that people have superpowers and the ability to see and to do. And no one in our community, or rarely do they meet a mentor in the community who's going to say, what is your superpower? What is your passion?
Yeah, that's great. And I think about that often. I used to be a teacher, and there was a time where they were putting in all these assessments, like, well, and they felt like they were steering kids, like, oh, well, we need more kids to work in this industry. So let's put these kids in this program. And I said, I don't want, especially even my own children, to wake up one day at 40 and 50 and be like, you know, I really just wanted to, like you said, do video game stuff, or you know, and that was some of the kind of things that I wanted to make sure we do here at Black Girl, but also to speak to children. Like, I want you to find your own place, because then you're mad. My mom made me do that, and it's all because no one asked. Thank you so much for saying that. And I'm a big believer that there's so many jobs that you don't even know exist, like, you know, like to your example, and you know, parents are saying get a good job, but there's better jobs than a good job when you really get
That's
into
right.
that small piece of an industry. And I want to talk about the book, because I, like I said, the book for me, I'll just say your book was something that I haven't seen from a Black person. And that's what really got me. You know, I've seen this, like, here's how you design your home, here's how you organize. And I'm like, yeah, you know, if you love it and all those series. But then to meet you and you say, like, I do this, and I'm like, oh wow, like that was wow. And then to learn
Yes.
more about you in 20 years and all that you've done, I'm like, oh wow, you know. But when it comes to, because it's not just the products, it's not just the allergens, it's the whole thing, like even designing outside spaces.
Yes.
And I think, you know, as we go into those things about like why we should move things or how your house should be able to flow and decluttering, and I think it's almost the top of the year now, like people are thinking about that. What are some tips for them to like kind of start switching their brain in? Because it's not about going to, I know so many people that are like, I'm going to this store and buying more decorative pillows, but it's not about having more decorative pillows to make your space. There's other things that I'm learning from this book. So what,
Yes.
like, how do we start if you're trying to start
Yes.
this
Well,
journey?
first of all, more things are not going to make you happy. That's the first thing I'm going to say. But I'm also going to say this, less things are not going to make you happy either. So there's some people who say you have to have museum quality space and it has to be perfect all the time and organized. And I'm like, I'm a mom. It's never going to be like that. It is always going to be a bit of chaos. And it's then going to be, I'm figuring out where things go. So what I try to say to people is at the start of every year, create a schedule for yourself. And every week, clean a room for 8 weeks. If you have a 15-room house, it's going to be 15 weeks. But when I say clean a room, I mean take everything out of that room that you can and start at the top and work your way down as you clean. So a lot of people will clean the shoes on the floor, then they'll do their clothes, then they'll clean. So what you've just done is you've put dust and it's just all trickling down. So take everything out of the room, put it in the hallway that forces you to clean, right? And clean top to bottom. This is going to take 4 hours, people. 4 hours. It's a football game. It's the news. And you're going to take everything out and it's going to take 4 hours to put it back in. Okay? That's one day. It's not a lot of time. If you do it, your health will be better for the rest of the year. When I say take everything out, I don't mean take the bed out. I mean take the clothes out, take the shoes out, take what's in the drawers out, put it in your hallway. It's going to force you to clean because otherwise you can't get anywhere in your house. The first thing you're going to do is then clean. Start at the ceiling fan, go to the top shelf of the closet, clean everything, vacuum, take your HEPA filter vacuum, clean. And then put those things away. And what you're going to do is everything that goes in your closet, you're going to put it back in. That's hanging. If you haven't worn it for the last year, or if you know you're never going to be that size again, don't shame yourself. We all have thin periods and we have, I call it thick periods in our life, meaning you are skinny mini and then you get a little pounds from COVID. Don't shame yourself. Say, you know what? My cousin over here has got a job interview. She could wear that suit. Let me give her three of these suits I'm never going to wear again. And now she's going to look great going to her job. You just did legacy and you didn't even realize it. Okay. You don't have to give it to Goodwill. You can give it to someone who it will be meaningful for, and then they can tailor it and make it theirs. That's the next thing. Then the shoes. You could have 95 pairs of shoes that are awful, or you can have 25 pairs of shoes that are great. Go to the great. Go to the things that will make you feel good and get rid of the rest. Give them to a homeless shelter. There are so many people who have needs right now that are unsheltered.
Mm-hmm.
And then with your bed, while you were doing all that cleaning, you know what you're doing? You have your stuff in the wash. By now, halfway through, you're tired, eat some lunch, pull the stuff out of the dryer and the washer, put it back on your bed.
Nice.
Do a mattress protector, do pillow protectors. And I also have this thing called the rule of threes. Every week, do your weekly wash. Every 3 weeks, wash the zippered pillow protector. Every 3 months, actually wash the pillow if it's a down alternative pillow. Put some tennis balls in the dryer cycle so it doesn't get too lumpy. And every 3 years, replace the pillow if you haven't done all those things. Think about the beauty story of that. You go away on vacation, you look great, you come back, everybody's like, oh, you look so great, so rested. 3 days later, you have the puffy eyes again, you have acne again, and you wonder why. It's because the hotel has to change those pillows frequently. And your pillow is the one you had in college, and now you're 45.
Right. That's good. I think doing something, a home project, cleaning and decluttering or what have you, as our house is changing because we've got now two high school graduates. So what a great time to change the house over a little bit. And there was something in my son's room and I'm like, oh my goodness, you've not washed this in a while. Like it was just that thought process of, oh, because, you know, like people don't think about changing curtains or, you know,
yes.
People are like, my curtains have been up since forever. You're like,
yes,
you got to clean those.
And it's a dust magnet. It's a dust magnet. And you're wheezing and sneezing. You go in that room and you're like, I don't feel good. So by the way, the bedroom is going to take the most time because there's precious things, maybe memories, maybe a child's outfit that you've stored in the back corner. Guess what? Fold it up, put it in that trunk that our grandmothers all had, the hope trunk or hope chest, I guess. Mm-hmm. When your child gets married one day, give it to them. When they get their first home, say, here's your baby rocking chair. Here's your baby doll. Now, all of a sudden, they have legacy that they could share with their children. This is the toy I had when I was 6 years older. Here's how big mommy or daddy used to be. You've just given them legacy.
That is a great idea and very timely. Just a personal story. I was doing this yesterday and I had something my daughter made for me. You know, those art projects they make in elementary school. And
the macaroni project.
Yeah. And hers was like, they painted on something. And I was like, here, you can have this. Cause I didn't want to throw it away. And she was like crushed. Like, you're giving me this? How dare it? I'm like, Oh, if I would have had a chest, I could pack it away and give it to her later.
Give
But
it
she
to her
was,
when she's when
was
she
she?
gets married and
Yeah.
or another time and say, I'm giving you wings to share this. This is who you are. This is what I saved, what was important to me to save for you for
Yeah.
when you became an adult,
And
you
that's
know?
a great idea is how to organize, like families get overrun with every kid's drawing, in the refrigerator museum. And, now they're 8, but they still love the 5-year-old picture. I know parents are like, I guess I have to throw it out when they're sleeping or whatever they're trying to do. But I think that idea of the chest, like I was given that I can see the trunk right now. I was given one of those empty, but never, no one ever told me what to do with it. Like, oh, you just have to have a trunk.
Yes.
Okay, well, we've got one. I guess I'll toss some stuff in it,
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh my goodness, if someone would have told me that, like the trunk, I get it now.
Yeah.
So I thank you for that.
Yeah. So when your kids are going off to college, you now you have extra room in your house, but you don't want to throw that stuff away. Put it in that trunk. And then one day, I hate to say it, when we're gone, they'll open that trunk and be like, my mom saved everything, you know, or you give it to them.
Yeah, and not have to find it in a cluttered house
That's
also.
correct. That's correct. And one other thing I think that's so important is we talk about in general, what does home mean? And what does home mean to all of us is it's a repository for our memories. But for some people, it's just stuff and it's stuffed full of stuff. And there's a wonderful comic who said, I think it was Jerry Seinfeld, and he said, so we fill up our house with stuff, and then we get a storage unit and we fill it with stuff. And then we get another storage unit and fill it with stuff. And then we complain about all of our stuff that we. I urge people to think about the consumerism in our community because really, really rich people don't buy a lot of stuff. They buy quality stuff. And often people who have very little are trying to look rich. And I remember going to an event recently and I saw the. What I call the poor kids who came thinking they had to dress for the event. So obviously, mom, dad, aunt, uncle spent all their money trying to make sure the kid had the coolest sneakers and the coolest everything so they could show up looking fabulous. The really rich kids whose parents dropped the kids off with the driver, they had old jeans, a nice shirt, some shoes,
All very nondescript.
nondescript. It was quality though. You knew it was quality. And you knew they were going to wear it until it was broken. It wasn't trendy. It was something they could wear in 5 years. I urge parents and people to stop being consumers at the level that we sometimes are and to focus on quality. And that brings me back to Clean Design Home and our brand because we have a price point that's a mid-level price point. I call it the mid-level mass price point. For some people, it's going to be aspirational. For some people, it's going to be a bargain. But for the masses, the middle class people, the people who came from something, I say if my mother wouldn't buy it, I can't sell it at that price.
Good
Okay.
thought.
And she's slightly frugal, but she buys and spends money on quality stuff. So our brand, imagine a comforter that's going to last you probably 8 to 10 years. Not cheap, it's not expensive. But it's quality. It's woven at a 0.3 micron, so bed bugs can't penetrate.
Oh, wow.
It's down alternative, so you can actually wash it. Those are the things that we're doing for people, is creating something that they're not going to have to replace every single season.
Yeah, and not have to think about because there's so much else going on for them to have to deal with.
That's right.
So that is amazing. And that's something I didn't know. What's like the final message for people? And we'll share all the links in the notes and on the website so people can
Yes.
support and learn more about your brand and you. But
Sure.
before we close out, like, what is that final word? Like, what's the takeaway for folks that are, you've said so much, but like they're ready to make this change and start walking into this path of clean home design or just clean homes? And
Right.
what's the advice here?
There's
Final
two
thoughts.
things. If you're an entrepreneur or want to be an entrepreneur, there's a book I want you to read. It's called The Dream Giver. It's by someone named Bruce Wilkinson, and it talks about everyone has a big dream. Some people, they squelch it. Some people wait too long and it's withered by that time. And some people walk toward their dream and they might have to leave some folks behind. They might have to leave that reality behind to go into their new reality. That's one thing. The second thing is home. Think about what home means to you. It should be your sanctuary. It should be the place that you come to get away from the dirt and the grime and the whatever that is your job. It should be home. And so you must create home. Most people think a four-wall box is going to create home. Oh, I got a new apartment. Well, okay, if I did your apartment, if I designed your apartment, and you just have been living there 10 years and you still have boxes in the corner, no pictures on the wall, that's not home yet for you. You haven't made that your home. And I even say to people, when you go to a hotel, that is your home, whether it's for a day or for a week. Even if all you have or buy is a bouquet of flowers for yourself, and you put that little bouquet, that's home, or a candle, or something from home, a picture. What you're doing is you're saying, while I'm here, this is my home. And you're grounding your body and your mind to say, it's safe. It's a sanctuary.
That's great. That was a great final word. My guest today, everyone, is Robin Wilson from Clean Design Home. Check out the book, check out her products. And I just want to say thank you for your time again.
So much. And you know, it's the holiday time. So many people neglect themselves. Do something nice for yourself every single day.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thanks everyone for listening. Talk to you next time.